Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we will get to Pong Bowl in just a second. The Texans, during the show on Friday, released Ryan Griffin. So we had a chance to digest some of that news over the weekend. And I started kind of going through things, Rich. Just in going through the history since Ryan Griffin got here. He was a Kubiak-era draftee. And in 2013, and if you look at what the Texans have done in the draft since Ryan Griffin got here, it would seem like they've been trying forever to find a way to get Ryan Griffin out of here. They've drafted three tight ends in the third round since 2014.
Yeah, I kind of went through a similar process as you over the weekend thinking about Ryan Griffin. And the more I thought about it, the more I looked at some of the facts involved, the more credit I give to Ryan Griffin.
For hanging around?
For being around here for 6 years. It was actually pretty a remarkable accomplishment by Ryan Griffin. Not that I don't expect him to get offers to continue playing football. It's not like he's a scrap heap guy, but he was amazingly resilient as far as his ability to stay on this roster.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they did a great job of addressing the tight end position. Look, it's going to sound like I'm piling on Ryan Griffin here, and I'm not, but that he hung around on this roster for 6 years, especially with Bill O'Brien as the head coach for five of them, without a discernible ability to block.
Remarkable.
Is incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. So I actually did a little post on the Houston Press about this, Rich, about Griffin. The three places I have that I think he could land are, in order, Detroit, Minnesota, and New England. Detroit was the team that was in on Griffin when he wound up signing his second contract here a few years ago. He was literally, I remember him saying when we talked to him in West Virginia a couple years ago, he was on his way to the airport to sign the contract with the Lions, and the Texans called with an offer and he turned the car around. That would be number one. Number two would be Minnesota because Gary Kubiak is there. And they've also got a tight end situation right now where it seems like they're trying to get out from underneath Kyle Rudolph's contract.
It does, yes.
Even though Rudolph's been a good player for them, it's a bit of a lesson in what a big quarterback contract can do to the rest of your roster, because they've guaranteed Kirk Cousins nearly $30 million a year, fully guaranteed for the next 2 years. They're having to cut corners in some places, including Kyle Rudolph, who's been a Pro Bowler for them and a fixture in the community up there. So that felt like one that if they're trying to get cheaper at tight end, that would be a place they could do that. And then New England, which it feels like every released Texan, there's like a 1 in 3 chance they're going to wind up on the New England Patriots.
Yes, it feels
it's
that
amazing.
Way, yeah.
It's amazing.
So are Witt and JJ the only Kubiak guys left?
No. John Weeks.
Oh, Weeks.
Kubiak era guy. Jonathan Joseph.
Oh, JJ.
Kubiak era guy.
Of course.
And DeAndre Hopkins is a Kubiak era guy.
2013, last year.
2013. Yep.
That's right.
He and Griffin were draft classmates. Who's going to be the last man standing, Rich?
Give them to me again.
Weeks, Watt, Whitney, Hopkins, Joseph.
I'll go with Hopkins.
Yeah, Hopkins is the chalk. If Hopkins weren't in there, it would be an interesting debate.
Yeah.
Because Watt would seem to be the chalk, because I think there's a good chance that Whitney and Jonathan Joseph are playing their last years with the Texans. There's a good chance Jonathan Joseph is playing his last year, period.
Yes.
He's 35 years old. Whitney's in the last year of his deal, and I could see Whitney looking at the situation and saying, man, I may want to go spend the last couple years of my career somewhere where they're not using me in coverage on tight ends out in space, where I just get to, you know, line up and use my pass rushing moves.
Texans get a comp pick if he walks somewhere else?
If he walks, yeah. And depending on how big the deal would be, that would dictate what round it is. I think this is going to sound crazy, but I think it would be a debate as to who's around longer, John Weeks or J.J. Watt, just because I think you can long snap forever, right?
True.
I mean, J.J. Watt may not want to play for more than 2 or 3 more years. And John Weeks, I feel like he can long snap till he's like 40 years old.
Yeah, no, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He came in a year ahead of J.J., but at the same time, like you said, the wear and tear is night and day.
Right. You just got to snap the ball accurately back to the holder, back to the punter, and then just duck your head and make sure nobody destroys you in down in the trenches in there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you bet on John Weeks, or would you bet on J.J. Watt?
I think I'd bet on John Weeks.
I think I would, too. I made him a minus 250 favorite in the post that I did.
Shocking.
Yeah, minus 250 Weeks.
Speaking of favorites.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Pong Bowl on Saturday was awesome. Because we had been summarily dismissed as a show by the other two shows during the day here, Mad Radio and In the Loop.
Yes.
They were having their own little battle all week long. And meanwhile, the two of us, along with our three-time champion, just sat on the sidelines and kind of watched the, I guess ultimately the battle for the Intercontinental Championship, BMAC. Is that ultimately what that was?
Yeah, I think that's actually giving In the Loop too much credit, but sure, we can go with Intercontinental.
I want to congratulate Mad Radio on beating In the Loop in the battle between those two shows.
Yeah, I would more say it was like the European title. It's kind of discarded now.
Okay, all right. So that was, so Mad Radio was able to beat In the Loop. In the Loop did get two participants in the Final Four, but they were battling each other in the consolation game.
Well, you know how, Sean, we do the job that we do every day, and part of what we pride ourselves on is being able to recall certain things that have happened in the timeline of just sports, sure. Not just Houston sports.
Yeah.
I'm still embarrassed about the fact that Friday afternoon it was evident on this show that my lack of Pong Bowl knowledge was ridiculous.
You were not selling it, Rich.
No, I wasn't selling it, and I really apologize for that, because for whatever reason, and I want to say, I don't remember, Seth and I were both trying to remember why neither one of us was at Pong Bowl 1 or Pong Bowl 2. I was not aware that Adam LaCroix was the two-time Pong Bowl defending champ, and therefore didn't really register, if that's the right word, on Friday, when the 24th and final at-large spot given out by the three shows combined was given out by us late in the show, and it turned out to be Adam on the contest line. Whew. I came to realize over the weekend that we should be embarrassed as a station that he had to go through the contest line experience.
Yeah, that's already.
He should have had a bye.
I sent about 10 suggestions to our boss on how we can enhance Pong Bowl.
I know, and you know
forward.
I'm tongue-in-cheek on that. But we assured him on the air that he will not have to call the contest line in the future. He is Pong Bowl royalty.
Yeah, he's got a green jacket, basically, is what it is. He is a lifetime exemption.
But the best part about it was the drama. The fact that he did not steamroll the competition. He was a silent assassin of the competition.
He survived in advance. He had to play in five different matches. And I want to say, and BMAC was following it very closely. BMAC was our sideline reporter. I think he fell behind in at least three, if not four, of the matches. And I want to say in at least three of them by double, not double digit, but more than one cup.
His second game, I was standing right next to him. His second game, he was down by two cups. Yeah. And then in the final championship game, he was down by three cups at one point.
It was amazing.
Came back to win. Do we have a call of the...
We have the final call, yes.
Right, here's the final call, the final cup. They were down to sudden death. It was Jonathan Ocampo versus Adam LaCroix.
Did we mention Ocampo was a high school basketball teammate of LaCroix at Katie Taylor?
Right. So we know that brothers love to fight each other, and that's what a couple Katie Taylor brothers fighting each other. And here is the call of the final cup for the three-time champ.
One cup from a three-peat
for
Adam LaCroix.
This feels so familiar. It's like we've been down this road before. This is Pong Bowl deja vu.
Wow.
Adam just rimmed out.
All right, here goes Ocampo now trying to cut into the lead.
He's got no chance. This is over,
Stop.
Sean.
Okay, now that's okay.
Rich.
You're doing exactly what Paul
This is over.
Here.
This is how... And Ocampo trying to cut into the lead. The next cup that Adam LaCroix makes... will gain him a three-peat.
There it is. There's still a chance for redemption.
Here we go again.
Three-time champ!
Over.
Adam LaCroix!
Over. I hope, like Phil Jackson, he copyrighted the three-peat.
Send that to the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Did I say Bong Bowl?
You did say Bong Bowl. Here's where I had a problem with my particular call of it. That was more of a TV call than a radio call, because I should have been describing LaCroix winds up. Here it is. It's in the air.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of yelled, three-peat.
It was a little mishmash.
Yeah, it was. the follow-up to that I liked better, because that's when we started comparing him to Hakeem Olajuwon and Jose Altuve, another great Houston champions. But none of them are three-time champions.
Yeah, no, none of them are three-time champions. Right. They can't hold his jock.
Right, right. So
he can't hold his ping pong ball.
Congratulations to Adam LaCroix. He won $1,000 again, man.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Lifetime earnings of $3,000 now.
Lifetime earnings. He tops the lifetime earnings list.
We need to get him a spot rack page.
with
Pong Wall Spot Rec Page.
For dead money next year. Yeah. So it was a fun event. In all seriousness, it was obviously it was very cool to have our guy win the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing in an event with that much randomness built into it that the same person has won it 3 years in a row. He's very good at it, but there were, I mean, like one ping pong ball goes in for Jonathan Ocampo, and there's right. no three-time champion.
Did you look really at his hands?
No.
He's got the hands for it. You know, and you know how we used to look at Julius Erving's hands and think, well, of course he can do those things with a basketball. Look at those freaking hands.
Oh, yeah. He had like the size of tennis rackets.
Adam's got nice, soft hands, long fingers, really smooth release.
Soft hands?
Absolutely.
You hold hands with them?
Absolutely. No, no. Soft hands you don't have to experience by touching. You know what soft hands are in sports. He's got soft hands.
Yeah. Hey, you sound really like you're admiring his hands.
His form is second to none. I wish I had his form.
I know a little too much about the length of his fingers now.
I don't know a lot about beer pong, to be honest with you. I just learned on Saturday that you can't toss it underhand.
Were you excited? Did you have a good time at pong?
I had a great time. Yeah, I got a beer pong education. Yeah. I'm getting ready to play some beer pong.
Good man.
Absolutely.
I want to thank the listeners that came out. It was awesome. We had a huge turnout, man. The managers at Twin Peaks on 290 said it's, I mean, they get decent crowds on Saturday afternoons out there, but they said, man, nothing like this. And they had a bikini car wash going on out there, too. It was a festive time.
That didn't hurt.
Yeah, it was a festive time out there on Saturday. So I want to thank all the listeners who made it out there. And we're going to do it even bigger and better next year, man. This is a fixture on the calendar.
Yeah, it's a cool event. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep, it was great. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.